2017 and February 2020. I visited some places on multiple occasions, others only once. All quotations were captured with a digital recorder. Some names have been changed to protect the privacy of individuals. I would like to note that while this book is focused on the places where the story of slavery in America lives on, the land upon which many of these historical sites sit belonged to indigenous communities before it belonged to anyone else. Of the 8 U.S.-based sites I visited for this book, New Orleans sits on Chitimacha and Choctaw land, Monticello sits on Monacan land, the Whitney Plantation sits on Choctaw land, Angola Prison sits on Choctaw land, the Blandford Cemetery sits on Appomattox and Nottoway land, Galveston, Texas sits on Akokisa, Karankawa, Atakapa land, New York City sits on Muncie Lenape land, the National Museum of African American History and Culture sits on Nacatank or Anacostan and Piscataway land. It should be noted that Native territories often overlapped and had malleable borders that shifted over time. This list is not definitive, but is one attempt to acknowledge those who first traversed this land and to do so as accurately as possible. Prologue. The whole city is a memorial to slavery. The sky above the Mississippi River stretched out like a song. The river was still in the windless afternoon, its water a yellowish brown from the sediment it carried across thousands of miles of farmland, cities, and suburbs on its way south. At dusk, the lights of the Crescent City Connection, a pair of steel cantilever bridges that cross the river and connect the east and west banks of New Orleans, flickered on. Luminous bulbs ornamented the bridge's steel beams, like a congregation of fireflies settling onto the backs of two massive, unbothered creatures. A tugboat made its way downriver, pulling an enormous ship in its wake. The sounds of the French Quarter, just behind me, pulsed through the brick sidewalk underfoot. A pop-up brass band blared into the early evening air, its trumpets, tubas, and trombones commingling with the delight of a gathering crowd. A young man drummed on a pair of upturned plastic buckets, the drumsticks in his hands moving with speed and dexterity. People gathered for photos along the river's edge, hoping to capture an image of themselves surrounded by a recognizable piece of quintessential New Orleans iconography. After the transatlantic slave trade was outlawed in 1808, about 1 million people were transported from the Upper South to the Lower South. More than 100,000 of them were brought down the Mississippi River and sold in New Orleans. Leon A. Waters came and stood next to me on the riverfront, hands in pockets, lips compressed, overlooking the Mississippi's slow bend between the two shores of the city. I had been introduced to Waters by a group of young black activists in New Orleans who were part of the organization Take 'em Down NOLA, whose self-espoused mission is the removal of all symbols of white supremacy in New Orleans as part of a broader push for racial and economic justice. Waters has served as a mentor to many members of the group. They see him as an elder statesman of their movement and credit him for being a central part of their political education. Waters, in his late 60s, with a graying mustache sitting over his lips, wore a black sports coat with a gray and white striped shirt with the top button undone. A navy blue tie hung loosely below his unfastened collar and swung over the waistband of his faded blue jeans. A pair of thin-framed, rectangular-shaped glasses sat high on the bridge of his nose, the left lens with a slight smudge in its bottom corner. His voice was low and unvarying in its tone. Waters might be mistaken for surly, but his disposition is simply a reflection of the seriousness with which he takes the subject matter he is often discussing, the subject of slavery. We were standing in front of a plaque recently put up by the New Orleans Committee to erect markers on the slave trade, outlining Louisiana's relationship to the transatlantic slave trade. "It's doing its job," Waters said of the plaque. "All through the day, people come in, they stop, they read, take pictures. It's another way of educating people to this." In recent years, markers like this began to go up throughout the city, each documenting a specific area's relationship to enslavement, part of a broader reckoning. After years of black people being killed by police and having their deaths broadcast in videos streamed across the world, after a white supremacist went into a black church in Charleston, South Carolina, and killed 9 people as they prayed, after neo-Nazis marched in Charlottesville, Virginia, to protect